believe we preached Proverbs last Sunday, but we'll do it again. We've been reading this and studying it these last few weeks, and the Bible says in the 22nd chapter of Proverbs, as everybody prays, we don't feel good in body today, but we're trusting the Lord that He'll deliver us. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Then in the 23rd chapter of Proverbs, it says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. And then there's one more place in Proverbs, of the 27th chapter, the 4th verse. It says, wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Do you understand that verse? It says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? You know, envy and jealousy has a way of eating you up just like anger and wrath does. And the Bible teaches me that we're not to let our heart envy sinners. The Bible says to train up a child in the way he should go. Notice it doesn't say train up a child in the way he shouldn't go. You know, I'm afraid so many times that us that are parents are faithful in the negative, in the training of our children. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. But the Bible doesn't tell us that we're to train up the children in the way they shouldn't go, instruct them in what they shouldn't do, but it tells us that we are to train up a child and what he should do. When he is not old, he'll not depart from it. We was thinking about this week, and you know, I was wondering if the negative would be true, that if we was to chain up a child, as it were, standing here looking at the lives of so many children, we know that a child is going to learn from somebody. They're going to either learn from their parent, or they're going to learn from somebody else. They're going to find love from their parents, or they're going to find love from somebody else, and it might be a perverted love. You know, there's children today that are in their 40s and 50s and have never experienced the love of a parent. But the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. And I was thinking, if I was to train up a child in the wrong way, would that not be as true as well? I'm thankful for the mercy and the grace of God. But there's something that rings true here today, that if I was to instruct my child in the ways that God would say he should not go, when he is old, will he depart from it? I'm afraid today, there are some of us that are so careful that we would try to insulate our children from negative influences. But if we ain't careful, that by our actions or by the openness of our home, they'll see the lives of sinners. The Bible says that we're not to envy sinners, because envy will eat you up. And if you envy a sinner, you'll be consumed by the lust of the life of a sinner. We know on television, we live in a culture, I don't care what it is, it presents sin in a way that wants to make man to envy him. We see it on church, or rather all on the television, where people, whether it's women, you never see some woman there at a bar trying to catch a man with vomit in her hair. Why? Because the devil wants our children to envy sinners and to that end.
And to them it's not appealing, nor is it to me, to have some woman trying to lure a man that this is some good tasting beer there in the grips of sin. But we ought to train up our children in the way they should go. That's a positive. We need to instruct them. This is what you do. Not so much in punishing them for when they don't do it. You know, that's why a kid, you can whip a kid if you would. The Bible says train him up. It don't say beat him up. But yeah, we are. Teach a kid when they're wrong or when they do something wrong that this is not acceptable. But we don't show them what is acceptable. Is it really training them? I was thinking about that. As we've already mentioned, we see it on television. They don't show some woman once again with a full-blown case of herpes on her face and on her body when she's trying to lure some man. Why? Because this would not cause us to envy the sinner. We need to instruct our children. Listen now. When we see them in life, yes, sir, we are to insulate them from the greatest wickedness in this world. It would do us well from time to time when they come in contact with it, that we would tell them in our training of a child, this is what sin will bring you. There's never been anybody that is trying to convince somebody, just like the abortion movement. What do they say? They say a woman's got a right to choose. A right to choose, a right to choose. And they'd rather not talk about what abortion does other than it's a choice. And that women ought to have it. But we see where once again, because of sin, and they want our children to envy it. They'll not declare of all the women that long to have babies after committing abortions that are sterile now. Of all of those that because they've not obeyed God's commandment and abstained from fornication, that there are diseases. Don't show somebody laying in their beds in the last grips of AIDS. Don't show somebody with the treatments they have to take if they catch gonorrhea. So we as a parent, I need to tell our kids, listen, this is at the end of every sinner's row. We ought not be entertained by it. Do you hear me now? And I'm as guilty as some, no doubt, about what we set before us. What entertains us? Our children, if we're not careful, will grow up and they'll envy it. Think about it. Train up a child in the way it should go. Whether we realize it or not. And when Daryl, if he would lay on his couch and do nothing, he's instructing his children. Do you know that? Daryl might think, well, I want my son to do this, this, and this. But if Daryl lays on his bed hungover by some drug or by alcohol, I'm training my children. You know, you would think that children that would grow up in a home where they don't experience love, where they see the abuses of certain drugs, that they would grow up and they would want to flee from that. But we know the Bible says if you train up a child in the way he should go,
And I'll say, if you train up a child in the way he shouldn't go, that when he is old, he'll not depart from him. There's been a many a child in a home that's grown up in a brutal home where the parents beat them and curse them, abuse them in all manners of ways. And they tell me that when they grow up, that they too are bound to repeat the things that their parents done to them. Well, you know, that's not true all the time, but it is in part for a lot of people. But I'm thankful that Jesus Christ came so that he can break the cycle of sin. But if he's broken in your home, I challenge you that you would not create an environment that would cause your children, your brothers and sisters, your cousins, to envy sinners. Look at the glory they place upon them. We even got a television show. They call it American Idol. What is an idol? And yet people are entertained by it. And God has placed a name upon it. That would only cause every one of us to flee from it. Why? Because anything the Bible teaches me that I would place before God and become my idol. But yes, we're so ignorant that we'll take an idol and we'll place it before our children. And we'll see exactly that we find it to be entertaining. I want to tell you, it's time that we wash our hands, ye filthy sinners. It's time that we flee to the altar of God. God is coming back, and I do not know whether I'll be here yet even next week. But one thing I know, that God has instructed us wherever we would be, whether it be here or over across the world, whether it be living within a moral society or a base and wicked one, that we ought to train up our children in the way they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart from it. But can you say you've done that? Are you guilty of doing the negative, of telling them not what to do? This message is to me as much as it is to anybody else. Listen, children, a lot of times do what they shouldn't because they don't know what to do. Because they not know to do what they should. Given a decision between right and wrong, no doubt a child a lot of times, 8 or 9 times out of 10, will choose what's wrong. That's why the Bible says that in the heart of a child, mischief is bound. But that's why we need to instruct them, but not only in the negative, but in the positive. They need to learn from us, and I'm afraid they learn all too well. They went to a shower, baby shower, and I guess part of the the baby shower, they had little silly things like women do, and one of them was to carry a water balloon between their knees, and they had a race and they'd see who could do it the fastest. Well, the boys was with me, other than Levi or other than Jubal, because he's so young, and we had some running around to do, and my wife took Jubal. I could see a kid not 2 years old imitating his parents, right there. But we're talking about hours later, when he got home, he come into the living room and he had a little ball in between his knees, and he was trying to run and he fell on the chair, and my wife said he made even a noise like the water broke, because that's what happened there. Listen, we're training our children, whether we realize it or not, we need to look in the mirror. We need to see if our face is washed from time to time. Or if not, if you don't have the courage, just ask your kids. But listen, if they've been instructed in the ways of men, they might not give us an honest answer if we've been training them to not do so. Train up a child in the way she go, and teach him not to envy sinners.
You know, sometimes we have a misunderstanding of what sin is. We know that sin separates us from God. We know a lot of times that these things that we're not to partake in, these sins that are listed in the Bible, so many times will lead us to a life of heartache. You know, when we can instruct our children and show them that, and in doing so, we would hope that they would not envy sinners. But you know what? So many times we don't still yet fully comprehend of what sin is. Sin is an offense against God that breaks His heart. That's but not only separates us from Him, as it were, legally, but it separates us from Him, a relationship. You know, there's some people that I think when Jesus Christ came, that He took care of that legal responsibility. I had a sin debt I could not pay, and Jesus Christ coming through His blood at Calvary, He said that now I can stand before the Lord. I can claim the blood of Jesus Christ, and that this legally, as it were, relieve me of my sin debt. But I want to tell you, sin goes much further than just as it were, a legal accusation between me and the judge of God Almighty. But yet it breaks bonds, relationshiply, if that's a word, between us and God. And we need to understand these things, if they break God's heart, does He want us to be entertained by them? And you draw your own conclusions. You attend to your own affairs. But God's gave this to me, and I'm going to get it off of my chest. I don't know where the fire stops, but I want to tell you, we need to burn the fields around our homes. You know, they're talking about fires out in California. And I look at my own house, but just over across the fence, there's a lot of cedar trees. And I've got a steel roof almost to my house. And you know, I guess if it got real dry, somebody could set those cedars on fire. But still yet, I don't know. I've not been around too many fires in Missouri, but it's just not like it is out west, where it gets so dry and the humidity's so low and it just carries the fire. There's been many a firefighter. The winds have changed and they've lost their life out there. Why? Because it's just a tinderbox. And you hear about these homes, 12, 13, 14, 17 homes lost in this one valley as the winds swoop down through there. And you know, I know that out west where they've got warm season grass, you know, I'm thinking about planting some of those warm season grasses. But you know one thing I will not do, I won't plant them up next to my house. Them cool season grasses would be best around your house. You know why? Because in the wintertime, for the most part, they're still green. We know out in Kansas that there was big old prairie fires. And the only way to save your homestead, you'd see the fires coming. And back during the horse and buggy days, there weren't no great ways to fight these fires. They just had to burn themselves out. And a farmer would get his team of mules or his horses, and he'd hook up the plow, and he'd begin to plow a circle around his house. Why? Because the prairie fire was coming. And he'd plow round and round and round in hopes that by the time the fire got to him, that the furrows would be so wide, that the plowed earth would be so wide that it couldn't leap across. Listen to me. I believe that we are living in the last days, and there's going to be fires that are sweeping through through our towns and through the countryside, and we'd better plow the fur around our house. I'm telling you, because if we're not careful, the Bible Bible teaches me that those that envy sinners, that they'll not come to fear the Lord. The Bible says, let us not envy, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Listen, if we have a right, if we put sin in its place, if we have the right understanding of what it is, well then we would fear the Lord. We wouldn't use it to entertain ourselves. You know what? I tell you what song on the television it was that my kid was singing. It was just a commercial. It was a spoof after Viva Las Vegas. And it was a commercial. A bunch of men were sitting around. My kids was at the table eating. And they heard that on the television. And my next oldest boy began to sing the song. And it was something I've been embarrassed for him to hear. Listen to me now. I don't know how far the fur has to go to protect our home from the fires, but we need to train up our children in the way they should go. In the positive, we also need to show them sin in the negative, to show them the consequences of it, to show them as people are there with a mic in their face, wiggling around like a worm in hot ashes, singing the praises of God, their God, which is Satan, and saying this and that, and oh, I'm so wonderful. And we sit there and we're entertained. Not can say better than the other one. And God looks down and sees an abomination in His church being entertained by an idol. My God, what's it going to take to wake us up from the calling of the world? What's it going to take? Is it going to be the fire of change? Have you heard other people spouting change? Oh, we need a change. We need a change. You listen, you know, that's true. Just this morning, I picked up my boy, my youngest one, and that's exactly what I told my wife. He needed to be changed. Why? Because he was in his filth. He messed his diaper. The change just for the sake of change ain't necessarily good. We was reading in Proverbs that we are to flee men that would have change. But you know, that's not talking about good change, obviously. It's talking about the change that brings about wickedness. There's a movement within our land. It's been going on since the beginning of time. But boy, we hear it louder and louder. Where they want to call wickedness good and or evil good and good evil. And we say, we best not be part of it. I'm going to tell you right now. Because when the winds of change blow, you're going to run to your idol. I think we mentioned that on Wednesday. Do you know that? I wouldn't suggest doing this. It's a cruel thing. But you go home and you kick your dog. And he's going to run to whomever he thinks he can find protection. You notice that? You ever see a dog jump on another dog? They run to where they find safety. Where are you running to today, church? Where are you running to? When times get hard, that'll be where you're at. There was the children of Israel. When times got hard, a king sent a messenger to go to a foreign land. And the prophet come down to him and told him, asked him this simple question, is there no bomb in Gilead? The sad reality of all of that transpired there was, is the man never even considered whether there was or not. He ran. He ran where he thought there'd be safety. This is the pitiful truth of it. When the fires of judgment begins to fall on the idols of men, we'll be running to the fire instead of abiding in the land of Goshen.
and be not sinners. Let's get some songs to sing. I've been studying in Sunday school, and there is a simple fact all about that is true for all of humankind, and that is that we are inherently lazy. Now, there are some people that are less lazy than others. There are some that we can even call hard workers. But for the most part, we want to follow the path of least resistance. Some generations, maybe more so than others, we'll have to say today, with all of our modern conveniences, and like I said, no doubt I'm as guilty as others, that with all of our modern conveniences, we have truly become a nation full of fat, lazy people. And if hard times is coming, as is prophesied by the Bible, if these are the last days, the Bible teaches me that there are days that are coming that will be darker than has ever been on the face of this earth. Now, if you're ignorant to human history, that might not cause you to shudder. But I would encourage you to pick up a history book of either ancient or modern history and just read it for a little bit. And the Bible teaches me that there is a day coming that is darker than all these days. Where are you going to run? The Bible says, what does it say about envy? It'll consume you. Go ahead. Cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy?